Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So in our previous segment, our special guest, Ben Hurl, mentioned first his girlfriend and then his sister.
Yes, so my sister, so she says to me, you know, we've got either UFOs or ghosts over our house right now. And my sister's a complete non-believer. Like, she thinks we're all wasting our time. She says, this is not true, it doesn't happen, just move on, just do something worthwhile. So I said to her,
okay. So this is perfect then. I'm loving this. Okay.
Yeah. So she's the perfect UFO witness in my opinion, you know, because she's a complete non-believer, and they're my favorite witnesses. Non-believers are always my favorite witnesses. So I said, well, what's going on? And she says, there's these things in the sky. They're darting back and forth. And, you know, her husband, Matt, like, we're both sitting out in the back veranda. We're watching this. And I said, well, oh, gee, I live about 10 minutes away. I said, well, I might jump in the car and come over. And she goes, yeah, come over now. So I jump in the car, and I got there in 6 minutes. I pull down her driveway, right? And I'm talking to her on the phone as I'm driving down, hands-free, of course, pulling down the driveway. And she says, turn your headlights off and come around the back. And so I come around the back, and sure enough, off their back veranda, out over the field behind them, there are these, what I would call as sort of like cloud-like objects. If you think of a moonlit night and you see clouds on a moonlit night, they're silvery. So they're about that color and about that resolution. Not bright objects, right? So not lit up like a Christmas tree. They were darting across the sky, left and right, up and down. One would shoot across the sky. It would divide into three more. And then they would shoot back across the sky. And it was like they were dancing or just maneuvering around out there. They weren't small either. They were, you know, they were big objects. They would have been, you know, truck size if you wanted some sort of a comparison for what sort of size it was. Her husband had started watching it from 7:30. I got out there at about 8:00, and for the next hour, we sat there and we watched display in the sky, just these objects moving to the left, to the right, and incredibly fast. They would go from point A to point B in like a split second. They'd hover there. They would glow. They would glow as they sat there, and then they would shoot off back to where they were. They'd swoop up. They'd swoop down, divide off. There could be as few as 2 or 3 there in the sky and as many as 8 or 10, so around that sort of number. And we're going, what is this? Like, going through all the logicals, like, you know, dudes with torches flashing on the clouds, you know, birds attacking birds or bats eating bugs in the sky. We went through all of that, and none of those explanations fitted it at all. It was really, really bizarre. So for the time duration, that's what really got me. Like, you know, a lot of UFO reports, oh, we saw it for a minute, or we saw it for a couple of minutes, and off it went, and that was that. But this, we sat out there, and you could have had a cup of coffee, you know, and you know, eating a cake, you know, no problem at all for this show that was going on.
That sounds really amazing. Now, but the first question that comes to my mind, somebody's got to have a pair of binoculars and a camera.
Well, yes, we had our phones with us, and our phones wouldn't capture it. We were trying to capture it with our phones. The main problem was that the illumination was not really there, as in terms of, like, they weren't bright. So they were as bright as clouds, basically as bright as clouds on a moonlit night. And trying to capture, I took video of it, I took photos, just nothing was coming up in the photos, and my brother-in-law was doing the same thing.
Right, there wouldn't be enough dynamic range. I could actually believe that. But then again, when they were glowing, you should have been able to capture something, because you said at one point...
Yes, but when they glow, that's a split-second glow, okay? So they don't sort of like glow, and then they sit there glowing, giving you time to turn your camera on, get your, you know, point it up there into the sky, take the picture. You can only just like point and shoot, point and shoot, point and shoot sort of stuff.
Right. Were you able to get any magnification on it with binoculars? Did someone have a set of binoculars?
We didn't have binoculars. And I was going to walk out. And it wasn't far away. Like, these were not far away. you know, they're within 200 meters of the house, you know.
Oh.
And I was going to walk out there into the paddock and have a look. And Matt says to me, he says, oh, he says, don't go out there. It's like the grass is waist high and, you know you're going to trip over. So in the end, I didn't go out there. We just sat back and watched the show. And we went through all the logical explanations, as I said before. But what really got me about the whole thing was how it terminated, how the whole encounter finished. And what was so interesting about that was all of a sudden, you know, they're darting back and forth. And all of a sudden, there's 10 of them there. They go into a formation. So they go into this formation. Then they shrink in size. They illuminated. All of them illuminated at once. And then they blinked out at once. And at that point, you knew the show was over. You know, because we're sitting there going, how long is this going to last for? Like, is this going to go on for, you know, another hour? But from 7:30 till 9, they were in the sky and I almost had the impression that they were doing some sort of a power up or something. That was kind of the impression that I had. Like, they're darting around in a very specific area of the sky. They're glowing as they come to a stop. There's a mini little glow. Then they'd shoot off again, divide into, you know, two or three others, shoot back, playfully kind of move around each other. And it was just, so bizarre.
What about other people there then? I mean, you guys couldn't have been the only ones, unless this is like a, you know, eerie situated where there's no neighbors.
This is the situation. My sister lives on a farm.
Oh, okay.
The reason why I don't think a lot of other people may have seen it is the fact that the illumination that wasn't there. So if you had been driving along on the highway over the river, you know, you wouldn't have, there's no way known you would have seen it. Like, it was a very localized type of a thing.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that was my experience on Wednesday night. Like, it was really, really bizarre. And the best part about it was, is my non-believing sister is now a believer.
I was just going to say, yeah. So what did she have to say after that was all over?
That was so good. Oh, man. You know, that was amazing. Oh, I've never seen anything like that in my life. Oh, you know, oh, Ben, oh, you know, this is fantastic. And it wasn't like a frightening thing or anything like that. It was just pure curiosity. Like, the three of us are sitting there watching this, and I'm just like, I've seen a lot of strange stuff, you know, myself, but this is the longest and the most, I don't know what you'd call it, and they were silent. There was no noise, absolutely no noise, not a thing. I stood by the fence. There wasn't any wind. There's low cloud, and they're just moving around without any noise at all, and incredibly fast. I thought to myself, that's the perfect segue for talking to you guys tonight.
That is absolutely amazing. You've got to get this written down and documented too. I don't know, you know.
I've started doing that. Yes, I have. Yeah. And you know what my other theory was? And I had this thought. My thought was that with all the planes out of the sky at the moment, that we're going to see an increase in UFO activity. You know, that was my little, you know, note to self. You know, I thought, yes, that's going to happen. And then I thought to myself, well, and I bloody see it myself. So that was really, really good. But I'd said to myself at the start of the pandemic, I said, I bet we see some sort of activity like is going to start occurring. It was kind of like a gut feeling that I had within myself. And I think that, yeah, we'll see maybe around the world, we might see that there's, you know, increases in UFO reports at this time, potentially.
I would have loved if you had walked out in the field and then all of a sudden, as your sister's watching, the beam of light comes down, and there goes Ben up into the UFO.
Look, it's not like me to let a fence stop me, I can tell you. Like, it really isn't like me to do that. But I kind of had this feeling, like, because we were shining, Matt had an LED torch, and he's shining the torch up into that direction, and they were kind of above this big red gum tree. And he's shining the light up there and flashing the light around, and didn't seem to give two hoots that we were there or watching, or, you know, there was no kind of interaction with us at all. It was really just they were there, they were doing what they were doing, you know. I'd almost say they were having a good time zipping around in the sky, and then they all come together in a group at once, simultaneously. They dim. They flash, they disappear. And it was like the most coordinated Broadway show you ever saw.
We'll continue the show in our next segment with Ben, Gene, Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Oh, so you're wearing a mask every day now? Where are you getting them?
The same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com. And they're handmade.
Really?
Just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks.
And good price?
That's the best part. I get a 10-pack for only $6.
Wow.
Yes, as a public service, we're now sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality, more breathable face masks, only $6. Our face masks are hypoallergenic, latex-free, and made for stress-free all-day wearing. Or choose our N95 respirator masks, 2-pack for only $6. Supplies are limited, so place your order at sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company right here in the USA. Go to sunny-bay.com and purchase your disposable face masks online. 10 masks for only $6. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Join me, George Norrie, in Indian Wells, California, May 29th to June 1st for the Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient civilizations, crop circles, and so much more. Over 150 lectures, panels, workshops, and events with leading experts Paul Hellyer, Linda Moulton Howe, Nick Pope, Emery Smith, Stephen Greer, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and more. Get your tickets at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Lumines. The Lumines anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Jampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Ben, you mentioned in a Broadway show. Have you ever, you've been to America, have you ever actually seen a Broadway show?
Unfortunately, no. I've been to New York City once, a long time ago, like back in 1998, And I know Broadway was active then too, but no, I didn't get to go to it. I got to go to a Yankees game.
Well, you know, that beats me. I've never been to a Yankees game. I went to Brooklyn Dodgers games in the 50s when I was very, 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 very young. Did I say very young? I don't think I ever attended a football game. I'm not a big sports fan.
No, I'm not either, really. Yeah. But the night I went there was the last night of the very final Seinfeld episode.
I'd like to get back to this UFO sighting of yours. Like, were you taking notes at the time that this was happening, or I was just trying to absorb it?
My eyes didn't blink for like an hour. They were open, and I was watching the movement. I was watching the size of the objects, and that changed. They were kind of – the other interesting thing, too, is they were kind of fuzzy-edged as well, so which really does make me think that, about the dimensionality of UFO phenomenon. Like, you know, it's kind of like they appear, they've got this fuzziness around the edge, the size is – they're kind of fluid in some ways. Like, there's a lot of fluidity to it. Like, it's not a metallic disc, you know, not a classic 1950s metallic disc. It's not that type of a thing. They really were much more malleable than that. The speed was just, you blink and it was from point A to point B. It's just from go to stop.
Yeah, I that's a really, you know, one of the identifying facets of their performance ability. I mean, when you see that happen, you know you're not dealing with anything that's quite normal, so to speak. But, you know, I'm kind of wondering if there's anything to be interpreted by their movements. You know, I mean, just a thought, right? I mean, you've got them going in a direction, so there's directional coordinates that you could maybe plot out on a map. There's a sequence of separation, like where they divide and come together, so you could have number sequences there. So, you know, maybe it's a, you know, if it's a, like a 1-3-5 type of thing.
Yes.
You know what
I'm
saying?
That's a really good point. That is an absolutely great point, because they'd divide, there'd be one, there'd be three, they could divide into five. And then the other thing I'd like to say about it too was that they kind of seem to be moving clockwise. Like, if you had to say to me, okay, they're going back and forth, they're going up and down, but the whole show seemed to be kind of going clockwise. That's the other impression I had of it. They were moving around the clock face. So if you said he was up high and then he went to the right and then he went down and then he went back to the left, you know, so it's kind of this clockwise type of a movement to them, and then you might get something where another one darts back across the other way. But I did notice that. I did notice that there was this kind of a general clockwise sort of turning motion that they were kind of doing, you know, when you're watching it and trying not to blink and not to get it. And we're all tapping each other and saying, can you believe this? Like, what's going on here? This is just unbelievable. So that was really interesting about it, because they kind of had this, like, you know, one would shoot off and another would move. And they were kind of, I don't remember seeing, like, you know, two shooting in the same direction at once. It was like one had moved and the next had moved and the next would move. And it was kind of that kind of, perhaps, you know, let's use the word coordination, but that was sort of like what was going on too. And when you're watching them, you know, the speed of point A to point B, the directness of that journey, they didn't appear and disappear. They traveled across that distance. You saw it move from point A to point B and then it would sit there. Then it would slightly glow, this little slight glowing is when it stopped, and then it would shoot off in another direction.
You know, what it reminds me of is some of the sightings by Paul Benowitz, if you've ever heard of the Benowitz case. That is related to some of the optical experiments they were doing with high power. We get talking about the ideas that some of these things could be some sort of a projection from someplace. And that should explain a lot of the performance characteristics. We don't really have to go into dimensions then, but if you've got some sort of holographic type projection system, you could do all of that stuff.
That's a really interesting point, because, you know, looking at it, you do have that sort of feeling that, like, you know, is this some type of a projection? You know, am I watching some type of a projection from somewhere else? Have these guys blipped into our reality and now they've blipped out of my reality, you know? Like, what is the nature of this interaction? And I would say also, too, that the color that they were was the perfect color for that night. You could almost say that was a stealth color. It wasn't Independence Day, you know? Like, they were in the environment. They were there. But they were blending in like an owl. But we see an owl sitting on a branch. He looks like the branch.
Well, yeah, it's called active camouflage. Yeah, that's something that has been worked on by our own military and can explain things like UFOs being able to simply disappear, for example. We don't really have to invoke any alternate dimension hypothesis to be able to explain what's going on with technology that is at our fingertips now. Say, imagine you had some distant projection system of some kind. You could make all of these things happen now.
Yeah.
And make it look exactly like what you're talking about. You could probably even do it from space. You know, if you have some high-tech military laser system up there, you could probably do that. But is that what it was? And that's the problem now, isn't it? Because in, say, back in the 40s or 50s, no, we would not have been able to do that. But now we could. So how do we determine whether it's something alien now or some sort of high-tech exercise that, you know, the military and the people out of Pine Gap are pulling together, you know?
Yeah, well, the interesting thing is, like, you know, like people say to me, man-made objects, to my knowledge, they travel in straight lines. Planes travel in straight lines. Ships travel in straight lines. Everything we do travels in a straight line. That's one of the first tests I apply to any UFO report is this thing traveling in a straight line? Is it behaving in a conventional way that you would expect it to behave? These objects were not behaving like that. You know, they were behaving in a way that you could say was alien to human movement. Now, if we have the technology that can do that now and we're all unaware of it, well, that's another story, and that may well be the case. But the speed from which they would move was just, it was just blitzing. Like, you know, it was a lightning fast. Like, you just imagine the G-forces.
Oh yeah, I know. I've seen one myself. I know exactly what you're talking about. There's no way that any kind of material object that we've created can do that. I mean, not even cannon fire is that fast. But if you think of it as a projection from a distance, all you have to do is move the light beam. There'd be no inertia. There'd be no G-forces. They could move what would seem to the observer to be an object very quickly from place to place instantly. Now, I mean, just think of the laser light shows that are out there that we've seen. So all you would have to do is adapt that type of technology and say, you know, if you gave somebody like the military, $1 billion in the last 20 years, would it be possible for them to create something like that and use it as some sort of advanced countermeasures or psyops system or something? I mean, that's the problem. We don't know if it's alien anymore.
We don't. No, that's really true. The game is changing all the time, isn't it?
It is changing. Therefore, we have to continue with more to come. With Ben Jean Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
President Trump says there are enough testing supplies to begin the first phase of reopening communities that are closed from the coronavirus pandemic.
Every day we're getting closer to the future that we all have been waiting for,
I talk about the light at the end of the tunnel. We are getting very, very close to seeing that light.
But many governors are complaining they can't get enough tests done in time, and they don't have enough test kits yet. Though in Texas, Governor Greg Abbott says he's ready to start reopening.
We can adopt safe strategies that prevent the spread of COVID-19. And step by step, we will open Texas.
Stocks rallied around the world on Friday. The Dow was up 704 points. The NASDAQ up 117. This is USA Radio News.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
Hypertension runs in my family, unfortunately. I started having problems a number of years ago, and I had heard the commercials a number of times, and I personally do not like the idea of being on medication. Even though I'm a physician, you would think, you know, that's our thing, but we just don't like it. So I figured, you know, I'll start the product, and I did, and I gotta tell you, it does help. By the grace of God and that product, you know, my labs come back really good all the time, right on the money. I used to always have like cold toes in the winter time, and I used to love going down to Florida for my medical conferences. But since I've been taking the product regularly, I don't have that problem anymore. You got a great product there, Don, and I just wanted to tell you how appreciative I am. Thank you so much.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meat packing plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to survivalseedbank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to survivalseedbank.com. That's survivalseedbank.com.
Jacques Vallée, you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
At one time, we kind of sort of thought that the UFO enigma was pretty constant back in the 50s. I think in many respects it still is, but when you use the word changing, what do you mean?
Yeah, we look at the evolution, you know, like back in the, well, people, even in people, I mean, you know, what people were like, you know, back when Roswell happened, you know, and you know, people believed what the government said, you know, if they said it was a bloody weather balloon, you know, like that was just, people accepted it, disappeared out of the consciousness for so many years, and then it comes back again, you know, and has the phenomenon evolved? Yes, the phenomenon has evolved. You talk about, you know, Roman soldiers seeing shields in the sky. That's an interpretation of what they're seeing, you know, they're interpreting shields in the sky, all the way through to crucifixes in the sky when you get into the Dark Ages and the Middle Ages. Like the phenomenon does seem to have this evolution with our psychology as we move along. And you get to the 1940s and 50s and the 60s, and you've got this space race going on, and you know, man's leaping off this rock himself for the first time. We're starting to see metallic discs. We're starting to see this sort of objects. In later times, you're talking orbs and plasma, and as you move through, so it certainly does seem to be following some sort of trend with our own abilities to perceive.
Maybe it's their way of trying to blend in so as not to be noticed, or to, I don't know what their agenda is. I mean, we really don't. But it sort of suggests, and don't get me wrong here, when I say that it's possible it could be one of ours. Now, it's not because I don't believe alien visitation is a reality. I do.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And this sounds like it was an incredible experience, regardless of what it was. I would have loved to have been there to seen them.
Oh, yeah.
But it does seem to, like you say, kind of mirror our climate of the times, so to speak.
Mm, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe it's their way of trying to sort of, well, you know, blend in with the population while they're doing their thing. But then why would they put on a show? Like, what purpose could there be?
That's what I was asking myself the whole time I was watching it. And because I watched it for an hour, I had plenty of time to philosophize about what was going on at the time while it was going on. You know, as I stood there and philosophized, that's exactly what was happening in my mind. I'm going, what is the point of this? What is the point of you're talking where, you know, we're 15 minutes out of town on a farm. It's a dark night, you know, with light cloud cover, no wind, in the middle of nowhere, basically. What is the point of sitting there and darting around and putting on this really awesome show, presumably three people, maybe some others, maybe not, and then sit there for an hour and a half, and then, bang, all of a sudden, show's over. What's the point of that, you know?
There's also this tall grassy field. I mean, I'd be tempted to get a drone out there and see if they left any crop circles or I mean, you know, we know that most crop circles, okay, are people out there making designs in the grass. But what if there's something out there?
Well, that's right. Exactly. And this weekend, I'm going to write up a full report on it and sit down and take all my Google Maps shots. And I'm a real Google mapper. I love that. You know, taking all my shots of Google Maps, my sister's house, the approximate distance, all that sort of stuff. I'll do all that this weekend when I've got time to do it. I'll probably go back out there also. Sunday, and I'll go out in the paddock and I'll have a bit of a look around in the general area where we were, where I perceived they were.
And, I mean, what if you were to go out there and all of a sudden, you know, you walk into this clearing and it's like something out of the X-Files where you're in the middle of a major crop circle or some kind of interesting design. I mean, who knows? This definitely deserves some follow-up, for sure.
Well, absolutely, and I'd be sure to call you.
Yeah, we'll have to get you back for that one. Definitely, we're going to want an update. In the meantime, you've got some other cases you'd like to also talk about. Let's go for the top five. I mean, most of us are probably familiar with Valentech or Valentech.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about the stuff you all know about. Like, we're going to move away from that. Okay.
All right. Let's do that.
Cherry. I'm going to give you some real little sweet cherries to chew on. Right. I've come up with about 10 cases over a period of time that in Victoria have been very influential. I'm going to quickly timeline it so you get a feel for what time period I'm talking about. So on the 15th of February 1963, a dairy farmer was milking his cows at 7:30 in the morning on a very rainy day. All of a sudden, out of the cloud deck, this classic flying saucer pops out of the cloud deck, comes down over the top of him. Look, all the cows surge into the dairy where his son's sitting there milking the cows, and the cows panic. This thing pops out of the sky. It hovers over the top of the dairy, and then it shoots off over the mountains. Case one, right? That's 1963. Next one is a photograph that was taken in Melbourne on the 2nd of April 1966, which was the start of a flap at that time. What looks like a bicycle bell type object. This case is known in America. It's called the Borman photo. It came down above a house in a leafy suburb of Melbourne, and a guy took a photo of this side inverted metallic silver looking. I'll call it a disc just for time's sake. And it shot off, and that made it into the paper, the Herald Sun paper. And that was really the start of what was a flap. And on the 4th of April, 1966, a man was driving in central Victoria at night. And he saw what he thought was a tractor doing night ploughing off to the right. And as he approached it, his headlights started to shake. And his headlights bent off the road, and they were attracted to this object in the paddock. The object divided into two halves with these tubes of coloured light drifting between the two discs. He put the brakes on and narrowly avoided hitting a tree. The whole complex closed up and it disappeared. 2 days later, a young man was killed in his car when his car ran off the road at the exact same location. On the 6th of April 1966, the Westall School incident occurred, where 100 children in Melbourne saw discs come out of the sky at mid-morning about 10:30, and the discs came over the school, and the kids, one of them landed next to the school, and another disc went over and landed in a place called The Grange, which was a park. And the kids ran out. All the kids ran out from school. In 1966, if you leave school, that'd be an ass whooping. And they all left school and they all ran down to where these objects were down there. That's case number four. That's a very famous case. 24th of August, 1967, a man is riding his motorbike between Melbourne and Sydney. He sees a flying saucer land and two beings get out of it. he hops on his bike and he takes off and the object chases him. 11th September 1972, a guy is riding his bike. He's a cyclist. At 4:45 in the morning, a UFO follows him as he's riding his bike. And he goes into the police station, and the police station, they all watch this object in the sky. Sale, 1972, September, 20th September, a policeman is out on his rounds in his patrol car, and he's driving out to this area, and he sees this light from the sky, and it descends to the ground. And then he watches it go up into the sky again. So he drives to the local RAF base, and he says, "Have you guys got anything out there in the sky at the moment?" And they go, "No, we've got nothing up there." So the intelligence officer hops in the car with him, and they drive back out to the road where he saw it, and they see this object coming towards them. This object comes over the patrol car, and it shines a bright light down on the patrol car, the intelligence officer, and the policeman, and then they're bathed in this light from this object hovering above them. The object takes off and disappears, and the light remains around the car for several minutes. Dargo, 28th of January, 1976, two farmers are watering a crop. They have to go back and turn the pump off at 11 o'clock at night. They drive off to go back to the farm. As they're driving, they see this what they think is a shooter's spotlight traveling alongside the car. And they soon realize that it's not actually a spotlight. It's actually a little light. And they drive, and this light's just pacing the car. They come into a hilly area, and they lose sight of the light. And they go, "That was a bit strange." They go up this hill. Next minute, the light is right next to them again. The light takes off ahead of them, and it waits at the top of the next hill. And as they drive up, they see that the object is a little 2-foot sphere, and it's got an eye on it, and it's got two fins coming off the bottom at 45-degree angles. And this thing turns on a light so bright that it turns the entire valley into daylight. And then they drive on down the hill, and they go to their gherkin patch, and the girl hops out. She turns off the water pump, and the object's hovering above them silently as she turns off the pump. They hop back in the car, and they fly back up there terrified. They get back to the top of the hill, and the object, little object, shines its bright light onto them again, and they get back onto the main road, and they skid back into town terrified.
With Gene Randall, Ben, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach, at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Hi, this is Joshua P. Warren, author of The Poor Man's Paranormal, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Our guest coming from the other side of the world, or another world. Maybe Ben Hurl is from another world, and he doesn't want to tell us. He's telling us about people who vanish. Now, Dave Politis was on the Paracast well over a decade ago, talking about strange disappearances, many of which happen in national parks. Do you remember that episode, Randall?
I've heard him a few times, and he's got his critics, but there's just something about the way that he tells the stories that do keep my attention. But, I'd really like to get back to these cases that Ben was talking about. And we were talking just before the break there. We left off with one in 1978, after the one in 1976, and that sounds amazing. I mean, I hope we have a little bit more time to go into a little bit deeper detail, where there was this spotlight-like object that paced a car that turned out to be a 2-foot sphere that lit up the area like it was daylight. That just sounds incredible. Like, imagine that experience. And then then we had just moved on to the next one from 1978 before the break, and we had to cut you short. So let's pick up where we left off there.
Okay. Yeah, sorry I'm talking like an auctioneer, guys, but, I'm just trying to give you the synopsises, and then we can pick them apart from there. So, September 1978, and this is just prior to Fred Valentich disappearing. He disappeared on the 21st of October. This case occurred in September, and it's only about 45 minutes away from where I live. But the scenario is at 3 a.m., a deer hunter and his godson, he's taking his godson hunting deer. They leave to go hunting. And as they're traveling along, they notice this red light in the sky. And they see the red light and they drive past it. People do these things historically, keep doing what they're doing. They were going to go a certain route, but a flood had come through and they couldn't go down there because the floodwaters were too high. So he turned around and came back. Then they see the red light again. And then the light starts pacing the car. Here we go, lights pacing cars. And as he's driving along, he speeds up, and this light is following right next to his car. Not right next to his car, it's in the adjacent paddock, but it's at the exact same speed as he's going. And he puts the foot to the floor, and the object paces with him. He puts the brake on, the light stops just in exact sequence with him. And he drives into a little town nearby called Stratford, and the object shoots off ahead of him. And he gets to the crossroads of the town. This is at 3 in the morning. And hovering above the crossroads is a disc. A metallic disc is hovering above the intersection. And as he pulls into the intersection, the object darts down in front of his car. So it shoots down at like a 45-degree angle, and it goes very close to his front window. And he sort of puts the brakes on, and then it shoots back up into the sky. And he keeps driving out, so he drives through town. They're still going hunting, and he drives out through town. The object follows him through town, and then all of a sudden, the object just shoots off. And they see it disappear, and him and the boy are going, oh, that was really weird experience. And they drive on out into the bush, and they drive out to their location where they're going to go hunting. And here's the interesting part. When they get to the location, the object is waiting for them at that location, and it is hovering there above the paddock. He stops the car, and he watches this classic disc. Think of, you know, the sports model Area 51, Bob Lazar. That's what it looks like, just like that. They sit there in the car, and it's starting to get the sun's starting to come up, and they watch this little cylinder come out the bottom of the object, and this little cylinder comes out the bottom, and then it travels across the valley, and this cylinder goes across, and it goes over to the opposite hill. And the little cylinder goes there, and it's on the ground, and it's doing something on the ground. Then the little cylinder comes back, and it shoots back across the field, and it goes back up into the craft. Then they sit there for the next 45 minutes and watch as this craft slowly ascends up into the sky, and it reaches a point where it's like a starlight, and it just disappears. That's September 1978. Then on the 21st of October 1978, Fred Valentich disappears. The world goes mad, and I won't talk about that now. Rosedale, 30th of September 1980. A farmer wakes up at 1 o'clock in the morning. All his stock are going crazy. The cows are going mad. The horses are going off its nut. Everything's going crazy. So he goes out to the side to see what's happening, and he sees this object traveling along low above the trees, and it goes over his shearing shed, and the poor horse is trying to get out of the holding yard as this disc goes over the top. He watches it travel out into the paddock, and all the cows are running around mad. And he hops on his motorbike, and he follows it out to the paddock, and he watches it go out. And it hovers above a water tank, and it sits there above a water tank, and it lands on top of the water tank. And it sits there for a short period of time, and then it flies off the tank, and it lands on the ground next to the water tank, and it's sitting there rotating on the ground. Then it lets out this pulse, and this pulse comes over and it hits him, and he falls over. And then the object takes off and disappears. He goes back to the house, and the next morning he's really sick. He's really, really sick. He can't get out of bed, and he's the farm manager. And the farm owner comes and finds him in bed and says, what's the matter? He said, I had a really strange experience last night. He says, I feel really, really, really sick. This thing was hovering over the tank. So they go out to the tank, or the owner goes out to the tank, and they see that the tank is completely drained of water. It's a 10,000-gallon tank. Completely drained of water, which had been full the previous day. And all the silt in the bottom of the tank had been wound up into a point where all the water had been swirled out of the tank. And he was sick 5 days, the farm manager, and his clock had stopped. His watch had stopped at 1 a.m. when the object appeared. That was in 30 September 1980. Fast forward to 1989, West Turriff, which is in the northeast of Victoria. Big wheat farms up there, huge wheat farms. And they've got the big combine harvesters, and the combine harvesters are going through the fields, and they find these huge circles in the fields, these big flat circles in the field, and they don't go over them, they go around them, and then the contractors say to the farmer, there's some really weird stuff out in your field, you better go have a look. And so they pop out and have a look, and all the wheat is compacted on the ground, and the ground is like it's baked, it's really hard. The investigator who actually went up there hit it with a crowbar, and it's like the ground rings, you know, so it was really, really hard. Also on the same farm, they had another couple of experiences. The son was laying in bed one night, and he heard this incredible roaring sound, and he had no idea where this roaring sound was coming from. Another night, they were coming home, and they were coming up the driveway, and they saw all their sheep were over in one corner of the paddock. In the other end of the paddock was this big golden orb in the sky shining a light down on the sheep. And the sheep were all bundled up into the corner of the paddock, and they were all running around each other scared of this big golden sphere that was shining light on them. The golden sphere disappears, and they go out into the paddock, and they see that the sheep are all scared and terrified, and they find a wedge-tailed eagle on the ground walking around flapping its wings like it's completely disorientated and had no idea where it was. That was in 1989 up there. Then you've got the Kelly Cahill case on the 8th of August, 1993. And I'll draw a line through it and I'll stop it there. That's a snapshot of some of the stuff that's happened here in my state.
Well, we're talking some high strangeness going on there. There's no question about that. Wow.
So, you know, and I've investigated all these cases that I'm talking about. And, yeah, every one of them is a high strangeness event. Every one of them has objects doing really weird things. And what I love about most of these is people doing their everyday events. You know, you got deer hunters, you got farmers, the people just going about their business. And they're not looking for UFO fame. In fact, half of these people, they don't even want to talk to you. So the Dargo case is a great one. I could talk to you about, for an hour about that case alone. We found one of the original witnesses for that case, and we went up to Dargo, which is Dargo's also about an hour right. It's a very remote town. It's up in the mountains, up in the high country. And we went up there, and through local inquiry, we were able to find the lady who's now 80 years old. And the lady who got out and turned off the water pump, and we spoke to her about it one afternoon up there, and she wasn't looking for us to come and talk to her. We had to talk to her for 40 minutes to get her to talk about it all those years later. So, you know, these events affect people. They really do. And, you know, you see something incredible, and then you have to get on with your daily life after that fact. And, you know, I sometimes wonder how people can do that, you know, like, you know, you see something that's a game-changing thing for what you think your worldview is. Like, you know, you can believe in Jesus, you may not believe in Jesus, whatever, anything like that. And then all of a sudden, bang, something like this appears in your life and you go, well, how's that? You know, what's your worldview now? And all of those cases have had that effect on those witnesses. And you're talking, you know, 1963 where I started with the dairy farmers through to Kelly Cahill high strangeness case, 8th of August, 1993, and all those other wonderful stories, you know, in those preceding years. And, you know, that's, you know, and Victoria has been the hub of Australia's UFO cases. All the big cases have occurred here. It really has got a rich, rich UFO history here.
We've got more to come with Gene, Ben, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got like, I guess, 60 or so different items, and entails t-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of t-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great t-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.